except for the fact that each had a large brass number above the door. Odds on the left side, evens on the right. They looked absolutely nothing alike. Number 9 had smokestacks like a tiny factory. Number 4 had tomato vines on the walls and a roof made out of real grass. 7 seemed to be made of solid gold, which gleamed so much in the sunlight it was almost impossible to look at. They all faced a commons area about the size of a soccer field, dotted with Greek statues, fountains, flower beds, and a couple of basketball hoops, which were more my speed. In the center of the field was a huge stone-lined fire pit. Even though it was a warm afternoon, the hearth smoldered. A girl about 9 years old was tending the flames, poking the coals with a stick. The pair of cabins at the head of the field, numbers 1 and 2, looked like his and hers mausoleums, big white marble boxes with heavy columns in front. Cabin 1 was the biggest and bulkiest of the 12. Its polished bronze doors shimmered like a holograph, so that from different angles, lightning bolts seemed to streak across them. Cabin 2 was more graceful somehow, with slimmer columns garlanded with pomegranates and flowers. The walls were carved with images of peacocks. Zeus and Hera, I guessed? Correct, Chiron said. Their cabins look empty. Several of the cabins are, that's true. No one ever stays in 1 or 2. Okay, so each cabin had a different god, like a mascot. 12 cabins for the 12 Olympians. But why would some be empty? I stopped in front of the first cabin on the left, cabin 3. It wasn't high and mighty like cabin 1, but long and low and solid. The outer walls were of rough gray stone embedded with pieces of seashell and coral, as if the slabs had been hewn straight from the bottom of the ocean floor. I peeked inside the open doorway, and Chiron said, "Oh, I wouldn't do that." Before he could pull me back, I caught the salty scent of the interior, like the wind on the shore at Montauk. The interior walls glowed like abalone. There were 6 empty bunk beds with silk sheets turned down, but there was no sign anyone had ever slept there. The place felt so sad and lonely, I was glad when Chiron put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Come along, Percy." Most of the other cabins were crowded with campers. Number 5 was bright red, a real nasty paint job, as if the color had been splashed on with buckets and fists. The roof was lined with barbed wire. A stuffed wild boar's head hung over the doorway, and its eyes seemed to follow me. Inside, I could see a bunch of mean-looking kids, both girls and boys, arm-wrestling and arguing with each other while rock music blared. The loudest was a girl maybe 13 or 14. She wore a size XXL Camp Half-Blood t-shirt under a camouflage jacket. She zeroed in on me and gave me an evil sneer. She reminded me of Nancy Bobafit, though the camper girl was much bigger and tougher looking, and her hair was long and stringy and brown instead of red. I kept walking, trying to stay clear of Chiron's hooves. "We haven't seen any other centaurs," I noticed. "No," said Chiron sadly. "My kinsmen are a wild and barbaric folk, I'm afraid. You might encounter them in the wilderness, or at major sporting events, but you won't see any here." "You said your name was Chiron. Are you really?" He smiled down at me. "The Chiron from the stories? Trainer of Hercules and all that?" "Yes, Percy, I am." "But shouldn't you be dead?" Chiron paused as if the question intrigued him. "I honestly don't know about should be. The truth is, I can't be dead. You see, eons ago the gods granted my wish. I could continue the work I loved. I could be a teacher of heroes as long as humanity needed me. I gained much from that wish, and I gave up much. But I'm still here, so I can only assume I'm still needed." I thought about being a teacher for 3,000 years. It wouldn't have made my top 10 things to wish for list. "Doesn't it ever get boring?" "No, no," he said. "Horribly depressing at times, but never boring." "Why depressing?" Chiron seemed to turn hard of hearing again. "Oh, look," he said. "Annabeth is waiting for us." The blonde girl I'd met at the big house was reading a book in front of the last cabin on the left, number 11. When we reached her, she looked over me critically, like she was still thinking about how much I drooled. I tried to see what she was reading, but I couldn't make out the title. I thought my dyslexia was acting up. Then I realized the title wasn't even English. The letters looked Greek to me. I mean, literally Greek. There were pictures of temples and statues and different kinds of columns like those in an architecture book. "Annabeth," Kyron said, "I have master's archery class at noon. Would you take Percy from here?"
"Yes, sir."
"Cabin 11," Kyron told me, gesturing toward the doorway. "Make yourself at home." Out of all the cabins, 11 looked the most like a regular old summer camp cabin with the emphasis on old. The threshold was worn down, the brown paint peeling. Over the doorway was one of those doctor symbols, a winged pole with two snakes wrapped around it. What did they call it? A caduceus. Inside, it was packed with people, both boys and girls, way more than the number of bunk beds. Sleeping bags were spread all over on the floor. It looked like a gym where the Red Cross had set up an evacuation center. Kyron didn't go in. The door was too low for him. But when the campers saw him, they all stood and bowed respectfully.
"Well then," Kyron said, "good luck, Percy. I'll see you at dinner."
He galloped away toward the archery range. I stood in the doorway looking at the kids. They weren't bowing anymore. They were staring at me, sizing me up. I knew this routine. I'd gone through it at enough schools.
"Well,"
Annabeth prompted, "go on." So naturally, I tripped coming in the door and made a total fool of myself. There were some snickers from the campers, but none of them said anything. Annabeth announced, "Percy Jackson, meet cabin 11.
"Regular or undetermined?"
somebody asked. I didn't know what to say, but Annabeth said, "Undetermined." Everybody groaned. A guy who was a little older than the rest came forward.
"Now, now, campers. That's what we're here for. Welcome, Percy. You can have that spot on the floor right over there."
The guy was about 19 and he looked pretty cool. He was tall and muscular, with short cropped sandy hair and a friendly smile. He wore an orange tank top, cutoffs, sandals, and a leather necklace with five different colored clay beads. The only thing unsettling about his appearance was a thick white scar that ran from just beneath his right eye to his jaw like an old knife slash.